Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here this morning. We have some that are back with us. It's been missing for a while, and we're certainly glad to have each of you, and glad to see Rex is able to be with us this morning. Others that are still missing, some are on the road traveling. Hopefully, everybody is safe. We have a number of our members that have been exposed to this virus that are not with us today, so hopefully it's not a catching situation from them, but we do miss each one of them that's away from us today. But again, it's great to see each one here, that we can come together to worship. As we begin the service this morning, well, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we are grateful for the opportunity of coming together upon this first day of the week that we can come and commune around your table, that we can take these opportunities of being together to sing songs of worship and praise into your name. Again, Father, be with each of those that are away from our number today, those that are ill, those that are traveling. May each one be safe. May those that are looking after the ones that are ill do so in a kind and caring manner. Be with each of us that we pay attention to our surroundings, that we live our lives that will be acceptable and uplifting to you. This morning, be with us in our song service. Be with Brother Michael as he brings a lesson to us this morning that we might listen attentively and gain from the words that is presented. Go with us on through this service and watch over us down through our lives. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. Let's all stand and sing together.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and praise him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and praise him, Lord of all. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the Spirit of life, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May his soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Please be seated.
Today we'll be reading Matthew 28:16-20. Matthew 28:16-20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for letting us come here to worship you and praise your name. Help us put this message into our lives as we go on with our days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus is Lord, my Redeemer. How he loves me, how I love him. He is risen, he is coming. Lord, come quickly. Alleluia. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. As we enter to communion, let's turn to number 683. Number 683. I am mine no more.
am I no more. I've been bought with blood. I am mine no more. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. And He rules my life. Jesus is my Lord. He will come again. He will come again. And He'll take me home. He will come again. I am mine no more. I am mine no more. I've been bought with blood. I am mine no more.
I figure before Lord's Supper, we'll just read this whole thing front to back. I'm not always very good with coming up with words, which is odd because I talk all the time. So I think I'll just let the Bible speak for us today. If you want to follow along with me, you can. We're in Hebrews chapter 9. I'm going to start at verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of His own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? And if you're following along, just put you a marker there. We'll go ahead and have the prayer for the flesh now. Our God and Father, we thank You for Your Son. We thank You for the willingness that He was that He showed in coming and leaving Your side and becoming one of us and being willing to go through the torment and the agony that He went through and carrying each and every one of our sins to the cross. We thank You, Lord, for the redemption we have in Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Continue reading. Therefore, He is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established, for a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, He took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you." And in the same way, He sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Our God and Father, we thank you for this cup. We thank you for the blood that was spilled on our behalf. We thank you so much for not holding us accountable for our sins, but instead allowing your Son to carry it for us. We thank you for redeeming us. We thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thus it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered not into the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood, not his own, for then he would have had to have suffered repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of all ages, or at the end of the ages, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. For those of y'all that may not know, if you'd like to contribute to the offering here at the church, there's trays in the foyer back here, and you're welcome to do so afterwards. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you again for your Son. We thank you for giving him the shoulders and the strength and the faith to carry the burden of the sins that we cannot carry ourselves. The burden is way too heavy for mere mortals like ourselves, Lord, and we thank you for him being able to carry that to the cross with him and in doing so, washing it all away. We thank you for our redemption. We thank you for this morning and the opportunity for us to come together and recharge and worship you and consume your word, Lord, and we thank you for the opportunity to be able to give back what we can. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, we'll be singing number 453 and 976 back to back. So if you can mark 976. After you mark 976, turn back to 453.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling, in his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true, here is my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows His will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. In His love abiding, I shall not be moved. And in Him confiding, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Though all hail assail me, I shall not be moved. Jesus will not fail me, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Though the tempest rages, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved.
Mark 9:48, number 9:48. We'll sing that after the lesson.
Church, it's good to see you today. I'm glad that you are here. I'm glad to be here today. I tell you what, I could have used Chester, if I could have just found the Chester channel about Thursday, had him sing that song to me, that would have been a good thing. Whew. I don't know, some weeks the Lord just says, hey, what you're going to talk about, I need you to know it really well, so that you're qualified to stand up and talk about it. And some of those weeks are just kind of, All right, now I'm just worn out from living it, and now I get to talk it. But that, I tell you what has gotten me through the week are really those two stories. And, in ancient times, the water and the sea and the ocean, it represented chaos. And so two of the most amazing stories that Jesus, He not only tells, but He lives, have to do with the water. And have to do, in His ministry and His disciples got to see this firsthand. And the first one was when they're all in the boat and Jesus is taking a nap and the storm rises up. And, they're just kind of fretting and Jesus is just sitting there sleeping and He's obviously not bothered by our present circumstances, and they're bailing water, they're praying, what do we do? And someone says, well, why don't you just wake Him up? So they wake Him up and they say, Lord, don't you care? We're about to die. How can you just lie there? Jesus gets up, rebukes the wind, rebukes the wind. Hey, enough. And just like that. Now, you know that look that he gave them right before he put his head back on his makeshift pillow? Pulled his blanket back over his head while the rest of them are just sitting there on the boat. A little more nervous now than they were just a minute ago. I love that, that no matter how chaotic it gets, Jesus is right there. Jesus is right there, and his word is more powerful than the chaos in our lives. That got me through. The other one, of course, is when Jesus has sent the disciples on ahead, and they're rowing, and it's just, again, windy and stormy, and the chaos is just hitting them right in the face, and they're just trying to get to the other side. Jesus has ministered to some people, and he says, I'll catch up. And he starts to walk on the water, and he's just walking on the water. Of course, in our present imagination, we've seen people try to, you know, replicate this and make this. It's an interesting story. It's a pretty cool thing, and we've made jokes out of it. Of, you know, you got to know where the rocks are, or we've seen movies of how to do it and how not to do it, but. But it would be a very fearful thing. You're out there and it's just roiling and the chaos is going all over and Jesus is just walking on it. He's just walking on it. They see him and, can you imagine being on a boat out at sea and someone just is walking on top of the water? And they walk up to the boat and, of course, Peter says, well, Lord, if that really is you, command me. You know, you command the wind and the waves. Command me. Make it so, and I'll come out to you. Jesus, well, come on. You can walk with me anytime. So Peter gets out there, and, you know. All right, Jesus, I'm coming. You know, you remember when your kids took those first steps? And they just... I remember my first swim. You remember when you learned how to swim? You guys know how to swim? Yeah, my dad taught us to swim with a moving target. You're almost here. Oh, you got it. You're almost here. And of course, we're going, come on, I know you're moving. And Peter's just walking out there. He's walking out there to be with Jesus. He's walking. And then Peter makes a big mistake. He takes his eyes off Jesus. And he looks instead at the storm. And as soon as he does, what happens? Now, the water didn't just all of a sudden become liquid. It didn't just gain its wet particles and just loosen up for him. He took his eyes off Jesus and he focused on the storm. And because he focused on the storm, he started to sink. Save me, Lord. And of course, Jesus does. He reaches down and he pulls him out. He says, Peter, you just have to trust me. You just have to trust me. So when you are going through the storms of life, church, I want you to know, because the storms don't, well, they don't let you schedule them. That's why they're called chaos, right? They just hit. You need to be aware and you need to allow yourself the opportunity amidst the chaos to just stop and say, I need to see Jesus. I need to focus once again on my Lord. Because when you do, you'll be at peace and you'll be able to walk on top of all that chaos. You won't be up to your neck and chaos. The chaos is there. It's not going away. That's what Jesus tells us. He says, hey, don't worry. I mean, he prayed for his disciples. He said, Lord, I don't ask to take them out of the world. The world needs them. I just ask that you protect them from the evil one. So when the storms of life just seem to just catch up to here and we can't get a fresh breath and we are scared and we're nervous and we're not sure how it's all going to work out, keep your eyes on Jesus. whichever one you like. He's above the storms. He's in the boat with you. Whatever your analogy. Just know that all the chaos going on, Jesus is with you through all of that. And the only way to sink, the only way to sink is to take your eyes off of him. So keep your focus. Keep your focus. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we love you so much. And we are grateful to commune with you. We are grateful for the sacrifice that Jesus made for our sins. We are grateful to take of his body and his blood to be reminded, Father, that we are forgiven. The power of the sacrifice of Jesus is everything to us. Your Holy Spirit that fills us and guides us is everything to us. Father, we thank you that we are allowed to offer up prayers to you, to read your Holy Scriptures together, to sing praises to your name. Father, thank you for being in our lives with us. Thank you for being present in all things that we go through. Father, some of us are going through some difficult things. Some of us have some pretty tall, windy storms in our lives. I pray, Lord, that we walk on top. I pray, Lord, that we stay where you are. I pray, Lord, that we remember that you are in this life with us. That you have made a promise to not leave us alone. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name for that awesome gift. Father, as we go into your scriptures today, I pray that you open our eyes. I pray that you make our hearts receptive so that our walk with you will be fruitful, will be peaceful, will be so beautiful that others will take note and want to walk with us, walking with you. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We're in week 2. We've been in Ephesians for a little while. We went through the book and we saw all the things occurring in the heavenly places that Paul talks about. Hey, here's all the good things. There were 5 specific ones that are going on in the place where God is. And then we went back and we saw all of the blessings and the responsibilities that go along with our lives living in the heavenly places. And now what we're doing is we are going back and taking that deeper dive and taking a closer look at each of these 5 things so that we can actually make them a better part of our lives and of our walk with Jesus. So we're on to number 2, and it's found in chapter 1, verse 20. In Ephesians 1:20, it says that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Wow. Church, the resurrection from the dead is so big. The fact that God restored his son from death, that he brought him back from being killed to an indestructible life, and then placing him in the heavenly places at his right hand, at his right hand. And that's where he is. And that's where he is. That's what's going on in the heavenly places. Jesus is there. Jesus is there, and it's wonderful that he's there. Now, I know that there's some days where we just say, Jesus, I just wish you would come back down. Just come back down and get in the boat with me. Come back down and calm some of this chaos, right? But I want, and I hope that you want Jesus to be in his rightful place of authority in the heavenly places, because he is above all things. Now, see, our problem is we just don't see him above all things at the present time. And so we forget that he's above all things. His name is the name that is above all names. His name is the only one that carries any real weight, gravitas, authority. His name is above all names. Any voice of authority that you and I have to encounter in all of creation, Jesus is above them. Then Paul says in verse 22, having put all things under his feet, he gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And we're going to come back to that. Now, the verse that we connected to that was in chapter 2, verse 19. And this is how we live this spiritual, this heavenly reality. Chapter 2, verse 19. He says, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. We grow, church. We are growing. We are growing into a holy temple which God lives in by the Spirit. You see, our purpose and our gift is to be filled with Christ. That's our purpose and our gift. That's what God has done for us, that we may be filled all in all, filled completely with Jesus Christ. Now that's our gift, but it's also our purpose. You see, because with that gift, having been filled with Christ himself, we are being built up into a place. Well, think about what the temple was. Temple was a place where people could come and offer their sacrifices. We offer up sacrifices of praise. We offer up our prayers of intercession. The temple was a place where others could come and see, what is this all about? What is this God that you people are serving? So the temple became the place too where we could reach out and we could say, you can draw near. You can draw near because this is the place where God is. And all of us, through the blood of Christ, we're not like those who were relegated to the outer courts. We're not like those who were afraid to step foot in. We're not like those even who were serving each and every day, because they were all separated by the curtain. They were separated by their own unholiness, their own sin. So even the holiest of men, the priests, whose job it was to just stay holy, be clean, don't touch anything dirty, don't mess themselves up in any way, don't wash their hands, anoint their heads, anoint their beards, all of it. All of these things that they did to make sure they stayed clean, just so they could offer the sacrifices, even they weren't let all the way in. But see, church, what Jesus has done in his sacrifice for our sins is he has ripped the curtain in two. He's basically broken open and said, come in. Come in through the blood of Jesus. Because of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, now we all come in. We are all made worthy. We don't come to him worthy. We don't come to him with a great life, with a perfect life, and say, well, Jesus, look at all the good I've done. Surely you will accept me now. We come to him with faith, with a believing heart, and we come to him with our sin. And we confess our sin, and we repent, we turn back from our old lives, and we say, I believe that Jesus, your Son, died for me, so that I can now be close. And God says, come in. Come in. You know, some people reject the Christian faith because they are afraid that they will lose themselves. I don't want to be a part of that cult. Those people are weird. I don't want to lose myself. I don't want to just be a nameless, faceless, mindless drone. But church, here's the good news, and I hope you believe this. I hope you know it, and I hope you're sharing it with other people. There is no losing in Christ. There's no losing in Christ. Back in 1:23, it says that the fullness of him who fills all in all. Paul likes this in Ephesians. In fact, go over to chapter 4, verse 6. Chapter 4, verse 6 says, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. God is over all, through all, and in all. See, because of Jesus Christ, now God can be with us. God can be with us. We're allowed to draw near to Him, and He says, I'm going to walk with you. It's a very sad thing when Christians, or really anyone, convinces themselves that God is some distance away. That God is either spatially far from them because of our sin, and surely God doesn't want anything to do with me because of all the bad things that I have done. And so He's way over there, and I'm relegated to walk way over here. Church, the destructive thought has the same force when we think that God is just up there, that we're all left down here to do our thing, and He's just up there, looking on with disgust or worse, nonchalance, that He's above all of it, that He doesn't care what's going on down here. No. The Apostle Paul says God is over all. He has authority. He is through all. That is, He is working through us. We as His body, as the body of Christ, are His hands and His feet. You and I like to pray for miracles, don't we? You know, Lord, if You would just come down and show them something. You know what His answer is, right? It's You. You. Me. We are His hands and feet. Jesus did show up. They didn't believe Him. He did all those miraculous things at His very hand. They didn't believe Him. Seeing is not believing. You know this, right? It's not. So what does God do? God says, you know what they'll believe? They'll believe You. When I fill your life with My very presence and My essence, and then you live your life among them and show them what it looks like, that's something they can believe. So God is above us. He is through us. And He is in us. And then again in chapter 4, verse 10, He who descended is the one who also ascends far above all the heavens, that He might fill all things. Okay, so basically what Paul is saying is that Jesus came down to earth, and after His earthly ministry, He goes back up into heaven, and He did so for the very purpose of filling all things. So I think Paul's onto something, and I hope that we can get onto something as well. Christ fills us with more than ourselves. Christ fills us with more than ourselves. Through His blood, He has taken what is bad and He has filled what is good. He's filled us with good. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 kind of goes into more detail here and shows us exactly how this works and exactly the effects. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Colossians 3, 5. It says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Don't lie to each other, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So, here, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but what is there here? Here, when we come together in the name of Jesus, there is not all of these differences that we as humans like to categorize each other. There's not rich and poor. There's not white collar, blue collar. There's not black, brown, white. There are not all these differences that the world wants to say, hey, we want to categorize you and put you in this group. We want to categorize you and put you in that group. So you just be in your group and you just do those group things. No, Paul says, What happened is Christ is all and in all. So, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So, Paul again here says that the old is being put away and we are being renewed in the new people God is making us to be. So we no longer identify ourselves from the earthly tribes from which we come. We no longer identify ourselves from the religious tradition from which we have found ourselves. We identify ourselves in Jesus Christ because Christ is all and Christ is in all. So church, our goal and our purpose is not to be seen. Not for me to be seen for my sake, but our goal and our purpose is for Christ to be seen. And you know, the amazing thing is, if someone still thinks, well, see, you've got to lose yourself. Well, has anyone ever taken a step to better themselves? You ever done something and decided, you know what, I'm not very good with money. I'm going to learn how to budget, and I'm going to be better with money. And then you took steps and became better with money. Or you said, you know what, I don't just like the way I'm feeling right now. I'm going to do a better job with my diet, and I'm going to get out and get some exercise. And you took positive steps in that direction. You bettered yourself. Or maybe you said, you know what, there's a skill that I need to have because I want a better job. And so you went to school. Or you learned a trade. You did something to move forward and better yourselves. Well, see, with Jesus, there is no better ourselves that we can do that even comes close to being filled with Christ. Because Christ is the best. Christ is the best. There's nothing that compares to him. So the best thing that we can possibly do is say, you know what? I am going to better myself by becoming more like him. Well, Michael, what if we start to think that we're better than others? Well, go back and read Colossians 3. Because I believe that if someone harms you and you forgive them instead of holding it over their head, you're being more like Jesus. And I believe that if we treat one another with meekness and humbleness, we're being more like Jesus. The more you become like Jesus, you are bettering yourselves, but you're not becoming more important than someone else. Because that's not what Jesus did. Jesus himself left his throne and came and served. He served. I mean, any time that your Christian faith makes you think that you are better than someone else, you have taken your eyes off of Jesus. When you look at other people and say, at least I'm not one of them, I'm just going to give you a heads up. Spiritually, you have sunk about up to here and you're about to lose air. Because that's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. He doesn't do that. He comes and he gives his life in sacrifice to those who hated him. He laid his life down for those who didn't do anything good to deserve it. And as we become this new self, this better self, this new person in Jesus Christ, as we become more like Jesus, we will do those things as well. Let's turn over to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. You know, sometimes one of our one of our arguments for actually living like Christ, whether we say it out loud or not. And again, I say a lot of things out loud that, you know, we don't like to say out loud to each other, but we all experience it. We're all feeling it. Is that, yeah, but Michael, it's just so hard to be filled with the light of Christ in the darkness of this world. I mean, it's just so hard to do the thing that I know to be right when everyone around me is doing what's wrong. It'd just be a little bit easier just to go along, just to not cause any of the waves, not to cause a disruption, just to kind of keep my head down and lay low, right? Well, church, you realize what we get when the church keeps its head low, right? If not, I'll let you leave the building after the services. Just drive through town. I'll let you turn on your phone or the TV or the radio. We know what happens when the church lays low. We know what happens when the church says, yeah, this little light of mine, I'm just going to go ahead and hide it over, under a bushel over here till everything calms down and it gets a little safer. Does it get safer when Christians hide their light under a bushel? Does the world get safer for us when we all just say, you know, I'm just gonna be quiet and I'm just gonna over here? Does the world become a better place? Does it become easier? Does it become smoother? No. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. In John chapter 16, because Jesus knows these things, he knows that we are living our lives in the midst of evil and darkness. So starting in verse 4. John chapter 16, verse 4, it's halfway through the verse, it's the new paragraph. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because, well, I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they don't believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, and you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while and you'll see me no longer. Sorry, I'll stop there. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Jesus, after his death and his burial and his resurrection, was raised to the heavenly places. He was raised to the heavenly places for the purpose of sending his Spirit to us. That's why he went through all of that. He went through all of that so then he could send his Spirit to us. And he told his disciples, those who had enjoyed his physical presence in their lives, he told them, it is better this way. It's better this way. Now, we can relate to the disciples, and you and I know this. If someone told us, hey, you know what, I've got to go, but it's a good thing. Well, how's that a good thing? Right? How is that a good thing? It seems difficult, and it seems painful, and it seems scary. How can you leaving me be a good thing? How can me leaving you be a good thing? How can any good possibly come out of this? And Jesus says, look, if I go, I'm going to send you the Helper. The Helper. Well, Jesus, I've got you. Why would I want the Helper? I don't want a Helper. I want the boss. Right? It's like what happens whenever you're not served correctly. You don't ask for a busboy. Right? Yeah. Oh, they got my meal wrong. Well, I would like to talk to a dishwasher. You got one back there? Tell him to lace his apron up and come out here. I have a problem because this knife is dirty. No, we don't do that. We want to talk to the manager. The manager has authority, right? Yeah. And Jesus says, I'm going away, but I'm going to leave you a helper. What? How can a helper be better? Jesus, you're here with us. How can a helper possibly be better? Hey, show of hands. Who walks daily filled with the Holy Spirit? Just show of hands. Show of hands. Show of hands. I'm not messing around. Okay. If anyone still here is curious how it is possibly better that Jesus went away and sent his helper, I want you to notice who just raised their hands. They'll tell you. Because he died for our sins, and because he was buried in the ground, because it was real, it was death, and because he was raised again to an indestructible life, Jesus from the heavenly places has now sent the helper, the Spirit, to be with all of us. It's why I can get through my last week because the helper was with me. It's why you got through your last week because the helper was with you. Jesus was not physically constrained to just hang out with me on Thursday. He was not physically constrained to just be there for you on Thursday or Friday or whatever difficult day you had this week. He sent his Spirit to be with all of us and to fill all of us so that his presence could be everywhere. All in all. Now tell me how that's not better. Tell me how that's not better. Yeah, but Michael, that's a spiritual reality. I want some brick and mortar reality. Really? Tell me something brick and mortar. Tell me something in this creation that's better than the spiritual blessings we have in Jesus Christ that are, oh yeah, given to us in the heavenly places. Tell us what physical blessing you enjoy that you would trade for God's spiritual blessings. There aren't any. There aren't any because his spiritual blessings can't be taken away. I can lose physical blessings. I can lose my health. I can lose my job. I can lose my money. I can lose my car. I can lose my loved ones. If you can touch it, you can lose it. If you can see it, it can be removed. But God, filling us all with his Holy Spirit, filling us all in all, that will not be taken from us. That will not be removed from us. That is the wonderful, amazing gift that Jesus leaves for us who believe in him. So he says, here's what the Spirit's going to do. Sin is forgiven in our belief in him. Righteousness is fulfilled in his return to the throne. You do realize that if you ever wanted Jesus to be here in the flesh with you again, that he would not be on his throne, being the name that is above all names, being the power and rule above all power and rule and authority in this creation? You think 2020 is bad? Church, you know his return is going to be worse, right? You're aware of this? Oh, it's going to be ugly. 2020 has been nothing compared to what it's going to be like without Christ when he comes back. When he exerts his authority on that final day, when he says, you're with me or you're not, you had your chance. Judgment has been proclaimed on Satan. Judgment has been proclaimed on Satan. Well, Michael, why is he still free to wreak havoc? Why is he still giving me such a hard time? He shouldn't be. He shouldn't be. You have the victory. But I'm still tempted. Really? How are you tempted? You're tempted because your heart's divided. You're tempted because, well, tempted because that one little part of your heart that you're not allowing Jesus to control, you say, maybe I'll try some of this. Maybe I'll have some of that. Maybe I'll go over here. That's why you're tempted. The enemy's been judged. Oh, can he mess with you? A little bit. But he has no say over you. He has no say over you, no power over you whatsoever. He has been judged. The Spirit proclaims to us what Jesus says. Jesus has gone back to his rightful place, yet he will never leave us. Jesus, imagine that. No, I want you to imagine that because that's our reality. Jesus has gone back to his rightful place, yet he will never leave us. Lance read for us in Matthew chapter 28 this morning that after he has done all these things and as he is prepared to go, prepared to take his throne, prepared to go back up and sit where he belongs, he lets his followers know. He says, look, I'm there. I'm here. I'm in you. I'm in me. So here's what I need you to do. Then he tells them, and he tells us, go, make disciples, baptize, and teach them what they need to know. I'm with you always. That's what being filled all in all looks like. That's what having so much Jesus in our lives that there's not room for anything else. That is what it means for Jesus to sit on that throne and rule in the heavenly places. So the next time that your boat is being shaken, the next time the waves look really big, maybe our prayer shouldn't be to ask Jesus down. Maybe it should just be to open our eyes to his authority. Because he rules over everything. He rules over everything. Well, why didn't he just take it away? If you had a minute with the king, would you just gripe at him for all the things he hasn't done for you? I mean, is that what you would do? You got 5 minutes with the ultimate ruler of the world. What are you going to do? Well, I got a laundry list. I'm going to shake my finger at him. Oh, really? That's what you're going to do when standing in front of the greatest power above all other powers? Wag your finger at him? Right? In case you're still wondering spiritually that you'd like to speak to the manager has spoken. It's time to eat the meal. It's time to live life. It's time to enjoy it. If you're not a Christian this morning, we invite you to come. And as always, if you are a Christian this morning, we invite you to go. No, I don't mean like get out of here. I mean like go. Make disciples, baptize, and teach. Be who we are called to be. Live your life so filled with the light of Jesus, there's no room for darkness in your heart. Live your life so faithfully that others look at you and go, what? Is that? Live your life so full of love and forgiveness and mercy that you are a delight to be around. You know what? If I could choose one, I'd just choose that one for this week. Be a delight. Just be a delight. Does the world need any delights right now? I think it does. You're filled with Jesus. Go be a delight. Be good to be around. Be good company. When people come to you, extend to them mercy and love and forgiveness. Be filled with peace. Jesus has filled you up. Let the world know the one you serve is in his rightful throne in the heavenly places. The ruler of this world, he's got nothing on me. He's got nothing on you. Find your forgiveness in Jesus Christ. We invite you to be baptized today. And if you are baptized already, we invite you to be Spirit-filled today and every day as we go forth. Let's stand together and sing.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, Hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, He is the just one, He hath the words of life. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. Be seated.
Hey, just want to let everybody know about the things and the people that we are praying for this week, and then give everyone an opportunity to share for those things we may not be aware of or those things that we need to lift up together as a family. We need to remember the Elams. Terry has tested positive. She's struggling. She's having a hard time. So we just need to keep them in our prayers, and specifically her for healing. The Stones were exposed, so they're in quarantine, but I have not heard if they, I don't think they're sick. I think they're in quarantine for being exposed. And the Sanders aren't here this morning because someone at Josh's work tested positive, so he's waiting on his test results. So it's getting around to people. So just be careful. And we have the Nixons back, so we're glad for all of you being back. So that's a good thing. And that's what's on the other side of it. What's on the other side of it is good news and celebration. Just be careful on this side of it, because the schools are starting to, they got away from the online around here because they're like, well, that wasn't fantastic for kids, but now they're all there, and so, you know, more cases are happening in schools. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. So just be careful with all of that. Next week, Saturday evening, 4 o'clock, here at the building, we'll actually be out in the parking lot, we're going to have our trunk or treat. So if you've never been a part of our trunk or treat, it's a lot of fun. Just, we park our cars, trunks out, and just kind of make a center walkway, and then people provide candy, snacks, they dress up, they have games that the kids can play, and basically the kids just make an oval and see how many times in 45 minutes they can visit the trunk of your car or, you know, the tailgate of your pickup, whatever you're going to do. But it's a lot of fun, so join us for that. And Bill and Kathy aren't here, but as far as I know, they're still planning on hot dogs. So we'll have some hot dogs cooked for everybody, so you need a hot dog. It's always a good time. It's always fun just to let our kids do that. So join us for that. Then once it's over, there is a full moon, and we turn our clocks back. So I have seen a few places that hopefully this next weekend will reset the world back to its factory settings, and we'll see. So we'll see if that is true or not. But just remember that, to set your clocks back and enjoy that extra hour for next Sunday morning. We are so excited just to see Rex with us. We are so glad that he is here. We want to keep Becky in our prayers because she fell last week, and we just want to just pray that she continues to get back on her feet and get back going. Charlie's still with us, and so we are just praying that she does well and everything comes smoothly, and that they have a blessing in their delivery. So we'll remember them. So what other things do we need to remember this week in our prayers? Steve?
A couple
Okay. Jane Evans. Anybody else? Oh, my family. Garrett was sick this morning. Little S, not capital S. He did an art project yesterday evening. He spray painted his rims in the enclosed garage, and then later he lost his supper. And so I'm thinking he didn't ventilate very well, and he was in that garage for about 2 hours with that project. So I think he got a little too much of spray paint in the lungs, and so last night he lost his supper, and this morning he said I think I feel better. But it just kind of, you know, kicked off his asthma and his, you know, so that's where my family is. So just pray that is little S. We're assuming it's little S, not big S. So, all right, let's go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the blessings that you have given us. Father, we praise your holy name, and we are so grateful that your Son sits on his throne in the heavenly places. We thank you for making us a part of the heavenly places, our spiritual reality, your eternal kingdom. We thank you, Father, for filling us with your Spirit, for building us up together as a dwelling place fit for you, so that we may know here in our worship you hear us, you answer. As we go from this place, as we walk amidst the darkness and the chaos, that you are with us by your Holy Spirit. That you are above all the problems of this world. That you are greater and more powerful than all the trouble that we experience. So, Father, let us hold on to hope. Let our faith be increased to know that you did not promise to take us out of the world yet. You did not promise to solve all the problems yet. You just promised to never leave us. So let your promises be enough in our hearts this week to be yours. I pray, Father, that we shine our lights. I pray, Father, that we actually teach others your wonderful ways. I pray, Father, that we actually make disciples. And as we are walking with you, that others will want to join us and we will show them what that looks like. I pray, Father, that we will be people of love and forgiveness and mercy and be at peace. Praise your name, Lord. Father, watch over our families that are struggling with COVID right now. We are grateful that the Nixons are back with us. Thank you for blessing them with health and strength. We lift up the Elams, and we just pray that you be with Terry, that you protect her lungs with this virus. We pray that you get her out of the hospital soon. We pray that you be with Scotty and Anastasia, and be with Kevin and Donna, and bless their health right now. Father, we ask that you protect Josh from catching it from his coworker, and then just be with his family this week. Father, I lift up Garrett, and I just ask that you restore him, and I pray that this is just a little thing, and that you'll get him back on his feet. Father, we lift up Becky, and we just pray that she will continue to get better from her fall. Father, we thank you. We thank you for Rex being here today. We thank you, Father, for giving him your strength. We thank you, Father, for seeing him through this difficult journey. And we thank you, Father, for filling him with your Spirit so that he may continue to be an example of love and mercy and grace. Father in heaven, we lift up Charlie, and we just pray, Lord, that her and Chester are ready for the arrival of their gift. We pray that delivery will be good. We pray that all things will go well. And we know, Father, love will be in this home. And we just pray that Jesus is above all things for this family. Heavenly Father, we lift up the Repman family. And we just ask that you comfort them with your peace. And Father, we lift up Jane Evans, and we pray for healing. Father, thank you for hearing us. Thank you for making us your family, your people, your house that you have chosen to dwell in. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that has made us whole and allowed us to draw near. Give us strength this week, Father. Keep our eyes focused directly on Jesus. We pray in his holy name. Amen.